very thankful for this this precious opportunity and privilege God's given us to meet together here in His house. It's good to see each one of you. Very thankful for the prayer that's been offered, and we would beseech each one of you to pray for us during this time that we stand before you. If you have your Bible with you this morning, please turn with me to Numbers chapter 21. We'll begin this morning by reading one verse. It's verse number 4. As we consider the scriptural instruction for us during times of discouragement. Numbers chapter 21, verse 4, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." Many years ago, I read a story that someone had written, and it was not a true story, of course. It was just something that someone had made up for illustration purposes. And the story was about the devil's yard sale. The person that had penned the story said the devil was going to have a yard sale, and he was going to go out of business. And there was many that came to the yard sale and saw the items the devil had there, and they were priced at different prices. The devil would sell all of his tools to anyone that would come by and could pay the money. You know, the devil would have some of his tools of temptation, some of his tools of troubles, some of his tools of tribulation for sale. And there was one particular tool that was there that no one could afford. The price of that tool was beyond the price of any other tool at that yard sale. And because no one could afford that tool, the devil is still in business today. That tool was the tool of discouragement. The tool of discouragement has been a tool the devil has used many, many times throughout history. To discourage children of God, to discourage church members, to discourage the ministry, the servants of God. That they would turn aside and just give up and give in and lay everything down. And when they did, of course, the devil would be pleased and happy, because he knows he hath but a short time here in this life. You know, Revelation chapter 12 teaches us the devil understands he hath but a short time to discourage and trouble the children of God until his time be ended. You know, that tool of discouragement has hindered, hurt not only individual children of God it affected, but also those around them, family members, church bodies, because the pastors being discouraged, families, because leaders of the household would be discouraged. I saw a cartoon many years ago. It was about a man that couldn't be discouraged. His name was Persevering Peter in that cartoon. And this individual in the cartoon was crawling through a desert. It was cactuses and, you know, all the blowing brushes through the desert. And you could see in the cartoon his elbows and knees were skinned. And finally in the cartoon he got to his feet and was leaning against a cactus. And he said, "You know, if things continue like this, I might get discouraged." Here in Numbers chapter 21 and verse 4, the souls of the people of Israel were much discouraged because of the way. When it says the soul of the people was making reference to their heart, their mind, the person, the individual was being discouraged because of the way. You know, this people, they were very down at this time, downhearted, down and out. This people was down and out and discouraged because one of their own sin. Do you remember there in Numbers chapter 13 when the spies were sent into the land of Canaan, this land that God had given them? God said it would be theirs, and the power of God would be with them in taking that land. And those 12 spies went in to spy out the land, and they came back, and 10 of those spies had an evil report. "Oh, there's giants in that land. We're unable to take this land. There's just too much there for us to do." And if you recall, there were two. There was Caleb and Joshua. They believed God, said, "We're well able to take this land. The Lord is with us. If God be with us, we can take this land. And the people believed the evil report rather than believing the report of faith and courage. Then they sinned against God by not believing in God, not putting their faith in God, and not trusting in God. I've often referred to Numbers chapter 13 as just a monument of disobedience. And because of that disobedience, that unbelief, that lack of faith, that lack of courage in following the Lord in obedience, the people suffered. They suffered. You know, how many people have you come in contact with, converse with here in this world that were discouraged because of their own mistakes that they made? You know, there's much forgiveness in the Lord. He's plenteous in mercy and truth. But there's consequences for our actions in this life. Not only were this people affected, but the people around them that heard this evil report were affected. The entire congregation of Israel was affected. Not only were the 10 spies that brought the evil report, but everyone was affected by this. And they were discouraged and not believing in the Lord. You know, just a few chapters after there, in Numbers chapter 20, you remember it was Moses that sinned against God. Remember there was a rock that followed the children of Israel. The Apostle Paul told us that rock was Christ. In Exodus chapter 17, God told Moses to smite the rock, and he smote the rock, and water came out like a river. In Numbers chapter 20, God commanded Moses not to smite the rock, but speak to the rock. But Moses was so frustrated because of their disobedience, he smote that rock twice. He said, "Here you rebels, must we fetch water for you out of this rock?" And he sinned against God. And because he sinned against God, God would not suffer him, allow him to go into the land of Canaan. And Moses was told he would die. Now this individual that was such a spiritual leader for the children of Israel for many years, they know he's not going into the land of Canaan with us. He will die. And how often we become discouraged because of others that sin against God. And we're also discouraged maybe because of the passing of spiritual leaders in the kingdom of God. And even in our households. I mean, I've been involved and spent time with church bodies that had a pastor for many, many years that would pass from this life. And they'd become discouraged because they had leaned upon that pastor and trusted that pastor. He had been faithful to them many, many years. You know, the church here at Union Grove, Elder Neil Helms was a faithful pastor of the church for many, many years. It had been very easy for the church to become discouraged when Brother Newell passed from this life to go to heaven. I'm thankful for God's temporal grace in helping us, helping me as a member here at Union Grove during that time. If you recall, during that time, it was Aaron, who's the high priest of Israel. You remember he went there to Mount Hor and he was called up to heaven and gathered to his people. And the children of Israel now, not only would Moses pass, but it was Aaron that passed at that time and went home to glory. And I'm sure it was very easy for them to become discouraged and down and out and seeing these individuals they leaned upon and looked to that would pass home and go home to glory to be with the Lord. You know, because of their sin against the Lord, they lost temporal providence of God. You know, we need God's help every day in our life. We need His providence. That word providence is a good word. The word providence is not the same as perseverance. Providence is when the Lord provides for us and helps us in our times of need. And the Lord has provided for us and helped us during our times of need. But because of their sin, they were separated from the fellowship of God. And they would go round and round in circles in that wilderness until all those 20 years old and upward would die. I mean, can you imagine living in that wilderness in that difficult time and knowing that, hey, after our sin, we've lost the help of God in so many ways that we're just here to die. Wow, that'd be enough to get me down and out. How about you? But not only that, they lost God's blessings in that environment. You know, the Lord had helped them in so many ways as they faced the people of that land. But now their own relative, those of Edom, would not allow them free passage through their land. You can notice back over in Numbers chapter 20 and verse 21, thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border. And so the children of Israel, because of that, now would have to make a long and difficult journey around Edom. And their soul was much discouraged. And there was a lot that happened to them from Numbers chapter 13 until this in Numbers chapter 21 that got them down and out and discouraged. And I'm sure if you could just see them from a distance, they were people that just had their head hung low, their arms hanging down straight. And I mean, they were down and out. It reminded me of like Eeyore on Winnie the Pooh. How many of you have watched Winnie the Pooh? Remember Eeyore? You know, everything's bad. Oh, me. Oh, it's just hard. And no matter what anyone would say, it could be positive. No, it's just got to be wrong. And they were down and out and discouraged. You know, brothers and sisters, here in the year 2022, if we just look out into the world, there is a lot that's out there that will cause you to be down and out and discouraged. Several years ago, and I did again this week, I did a study on the religious state of the United States of America. You know, the United States of America in history has been a very religious country. I can take you back to a time in history books when there was a county in the state of Georgia, over 80% of that county was Primitive Baptist. If you go with me down to that county and visit those church houses, and I've preached in many of those church houses, they are huge. And you can just see that one time there were very large congregations that met there. Today, during song service, there's an echo. That study that I did was considering what percentage of the population of the United States of America would go to church on Sunday morning. Now, I'm making reference to activity in a religious worship service of any kind. Gallup polls did a study on that, and they were not very confident with their findings. Their findings said somewhere around 40% of the population of the United States of America would go to church on any given Sunday morning. And they were not confident of that because they did not trust the honesty of the individuals that responded. After they spoke to the ministry, pastors throughout America, those pastors and ministry said that it's impossible for that to be correct. So another study was done by another group, and they said that actual number had to be in like 32 to 34%. Well, then another poll was done, and it was a poll that they felt to be more accurate, and it was actually somewhere around 23 to 27% of the population of the United States of America go to church any Sunday morning. Now, if we just look out at that, we who are at the house of God this morning, a pastor, that's enough to discourage you. You know, when you consider the political state of the United States of America today, it's enough to discourage you. I mean, you know, when I was a child, I can remember growing up as a child. I mean, there's subjects that's being argued now. I never would have thought we'd come to a place arguing this. I mean, did you ever think we'd come to a day where people were arguing over being able to murder infants in the womb? Did you think we'd come to a time when people were willing to argue and burn down property over sodomy? Do you know that subject? You go back in the state of North Carolina, you'll find a time when that was illegal in the state of North Carolina. You don't have to go back far. When I think about the pandering politicians that exist in the United States of America, I didn't mention any party, by the way. I'm not mentioning party. I'm just making reference to the state. And I'm not saying every person in politics is evil. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we got a lot of people that are not godly minded in politics. Thank you for that amen. It deserves an amen. We got a lot of people that are not godly in politics today. When I consider the state and this political situation we're in the United States of America, if my mind is focused just on that, I can become very discouraged. When I think about the population of the United States of America and the direction they're going and being influenced, you can get very discouraged. When I think about violent crime in the United States of America right now, I mean, violent crime. I'm talking about some serious crime. It's on an incredible increase. I've got an individual, he's the assistant coach for the middle school soccer team. He comes out and talks to me and helps me coaching. Good man. I love him. He talked to me here recently about a woman that went shopping at the Indian Trail Walmart right down the road here from us. And she was robbed and mugged in broad daylight. They took her stuff. Police came out, got a report. They, the people that robbed her, learned she lived by herself and later came to her house and robbed everything she had. That happened here in Union County, brothers and sisters. When I think about that, it's enough to discourage you. I mean, it's got to a point where I don't want my wife and kids going alone to place in the United States of America. You know, when I was raised up, I mean, my mom could just take me to my uncle's barbershop. Hey, you get a haircut there, and I'll pick you up a little later. I mean, I could walk down the streets of Cornelia. I'd go to Gold's department store and belts wherever I wanted to. I mean, I felt safe. I mean, all we had to worry about is just the police officers coming around and putting a white mark on your tire for being parked too long there in Cornelia, Georgia. It's not like that anymore. It's a very dangerous world. And you think about that, it's enough to just get you down and out and discouraged. You know, if we only focus on that, well, that's enough to make you just give up. But you know, the Bible gives us things to think on, to ponder, to meditate upon, to help us in times of discouragement, that we can live an encouraged life in a world gone wrong. I need help to be an encouraged person in a world go wrong. Now let's think about this word discouraged. What does it mean? You know, this prefix dis, it comes from the Latin language. It means to take away, to remove something. Like something that's allowed, something disallowed. The word courage means to be strengthened, to be emboldened, to be strong, have power. Well, discouraged means to take away strength, to take away power, to take away boldness. But the Bible does just the opposite of the word discouraged. The Lord does just the opposite for the children of God. The Lord gives us courage. The Lord gives us strength. The Lord builds us up, that we would be strong enough to face all the trials and tribulations of this life. You know, if we fail in the face of trials and tribulation, it's not God's fault. Because Paul told us we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. What does that mean? That means if I fail, if I give up, it's not God's fault. Whose fault is it? It's my fault. It's my fault. Not God's fault. We also live in a world where people try to blame God for all the wrong. People try to blame God for their problems, their own failures. Brothers and sisters, let us not blame God for our failures and our problems. Let us give God glory for the good. Let's blame ourselves and sinful man and this sinful world for our problems. This people, their heart and soul was much discouraged. What did this people need? This people need to be reminded of those things of God that we have. This morning, I want you to think about, and I want you to continue to think about as you face the discouragements of this life, five things the Scripture gives us to help us be encouraged and strengthened as we face the problems, the tribulations, the trials of this present world. First thing I want you to think of that we encourage you in times of discouragement, think about Jesus. Think about the Lord. You know, during times of discouragement, during times when you're down, it's always good to have a great example close by. Right? It always helps me to have somebody close by to encourage me. It always helps me to have someone that I can look to, that I can follow and have an example. You know, we have no better example, no one better to look to. He's the best of all. Than look to our greatest example, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Peter told us that he'd give us an example that we should follow in his steps. Paul wrote to us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, that when we run this race of life, and by the way, this life is referred to as a race. If this life is referred to as a race, we should lighten ourselves to be able to run this race better. How many of you would want to get in a race and load yourself down with weight running a race? You know, the weights of unbelief, the weights and the worries of this world and the troubles of this world, it only makes it difficult for you to run your race. Our life is called a race, and we should run this race, according to the Apostle Paul in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, looking unto Brother Ronnie. Is that what it says? No, it didn't say that. We should run this race looking to a former pastor we had at Union Grove. No, it doesn't say that. We should run this race looking toward our mom and daddy. I'm thankful for all these individuals and the examples they give us, but we should run this race looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What does that mean, he's the author and finisher of our faith? That means he's the origin of our faith. You know how we have faith? God is in us. According to Galatians 5:22, faith is the fruit of the Spirit, not the root of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. And if someone has faith, it's only because God is in them. He's the origin of our faith, but he's also the finisher of our faith. And Jesus one day will finish our faith when he appears in the clouds and we see him. I love that last verse of 1 Corinthians 13. Now, that means right now. Elder Dan Bryant used to say, you know what the word now means? It means right now. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, and the greatest of these is charity. Why? Because faith and hope one day will end. The origin of our faith and hope is God, the Lord Jesus Christ. But one day our faith and hope will end, but charity will still live on through all eternity. You know why? Because the eternal God of heaven and earth had charity for us when he chose us and gave us to his Son in a covenant of grace. And when we get to heaven, his charity will still live on as we will rest in his loving arms forever and ever and ever. But the Lord will end our faith one day. And he's the one we should look to. You know what the Bible says about Jesus? Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 4 says, he shall not fail nor be discouraged. That text says the Lord will not fail nor be discouraged. Well, Brother Ronnie, I turned on the TV this morning and I was listening to a preacher, and he said Jesus was trying to get people into heaven and some people weren't going to make it. He's going to fail. Well, you can listen to that preacher all you want to, but Isaiah said the Lord wouldn't fail. Isaiah says the Lord will be successful. Isaiah, I think, agrees with what Jesus said. And the reason he agrees is Jesus called him to be a prophet to Israel. Jesus said over in John chapter 6 and verse 37 that he would lose nothing but raised up again at the last day. That sounds like a failure to me. Sounds like he's victorious. And everyone he died for on the cross will be with him in glory without the loss of one. But Isaiah said he would not fail nor be discouraged. Now, if I want to look for an example during times of discouragement, I like to look to one who will not be discouraged. How about you? Jesus would not be discouraged. But I think about everything he faced. And if you think about the things you face and you'll compare it to what Jesus faced, I think what you face will pale in comparison. Think about this, the Lord Jesus Christ, him being forsaken. Have you ever read the text there in Mark chapter 14 and verse 50 where they all forsook Jesus and fled? Now, have you ever gotten discouraged because someone you depended on wasn't there when you needed them? Wow. Have you ever had someone you really depended on and you wanted to be there, but they wasn't there when you needed them? This is a fact of life. And I will assure you, there's been many pastors that have been very discouraged because there's people in the church they depended on that when they need them, they were not there. You know, now in this present time, you would not believe. They call it pastor burnout. Pastors that just give up and give in. I'm not trying to scare anybody, Brother Phil. But it happens because they look and someone they depend on, they wasn't there. Brother Phil was giving me that look. Brother Ronnie, I hope you're not talking about yourself. The Lord Jesus Christ, it wasn't just some that forsook him. It was all. They all forsook him and fled. Oh, Brother Ronnie, surely it wasn't Peter. You know, Peter, the Lord Jesus Christ, he took him up on the mountain of transfiguration and his face began to shine as the sun. His garment was white, so white that no fuller could white them. And Peter heard the voice from heaven and said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. Wasn't it Peter that the Lord Jesus Christ took with him when he raised Jairus from the dead? Jairus' daughter from the dead. Wasn't that Peter that witnessed? Wasn't it Peter that the Lord done that for his mother-in-law when she was sick? Surely it wasn't Peter, Brother Ronnie. Yes, it was Peter. Brother Ronnie, sure it wasn't. Surely it wasn't all those brothers and sisters that he performed those miracles when they were lepers, when they were sick, when they had the palsy. Surely it wasn't them that forsook him. If you ever noticed the last verse of John chapter 21, if all that Jesus did had been written, the world itself could not contain the books that should have been written. And we only have a very small portion of the miracles that Jesus did during that 3.5 years. Surely, Brother Ronnie, it wasn't all them. Yeah, it was all them too. When they came and arrested the Lord, Jesus said it. He said, "You smite the shepherd, the sheep will be scattered." And they were. They all forsook and fled. It was Peter that followed from far distance. It was Peter that denied him 3 times. Was that enough to discourage a normal person? Oh, yeah, it would discourage me. It would discourage me if someone I depended on and loved would forsake me during my times of need. They forsake me when I depended on him. But the Lord was not discouraged. You know, it didn't deter him one bit in accomplishing what he came into the world to do. Remember when he told Peter? Remember when he told Peter and the rest of the apostles about him going to Jerusalem and being crucified? "Oh, be it far from thee, Lord." He told Peter, "Thou servest not the things which be of God." The Lord Jesus Christ, his forehead was like a flint, and going forward, he would not be discouraged. He would not fail. And even though all forsook him, he kept going forward. What a wonderful example to us all that no one else who would be with us. The Lord, who was forsaken of all, has promised to never forsake us. You know, the one that was forsaken by all will never forsake you. You know, the Apostle Paul reminded the Hebrews of that in Hebrews chapter 13. "Our conversation should be without covetousness. Let us be content with such things we have, for we know him that has said, 'The Lord is our helper.' And he would never forsake us nor leave us. And he will always be there for us." You know, when I think about the Lord Jesus Christ and the things he suffered, it would be enough to discourage all of us. I think about the negative comments and words that came from the lips of people about him. You know, there's people said a lot of evil things about the Lord. You ever had anybody talk about you behind your back and it get back to you and it really just gets you down and out? That ever happened to you? Hang around a little longer than folks, it will. But people can be mean in this world. Go with me to Psalms chapter 69. Psalms chapter 69 is a prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at those first 4 verses, when David makes reference to the waters coming into him, his soul and him sinking in deep mire, what that's about is the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary suffering the floods of the wrath of the Father for our sin. Remember, he said, "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I'll be straightened to be accomplished." He was immersed in the wrath of the Father when the floods came in unto him for our sins. All the wrath of the Father against us was on the Lord Jesus Christ when he was crucified. Remember there, it's at verse 4, "They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head." Oh, that's about Jesus. What about in verse 21? "They gave me gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." Oh, that's about the Lord. What about verse 9? "The reproaches of them that approach thee have fallen upon me." Oh, the Apostle Paul quoted that in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 and said it was about the Lord. What does it say there in verse 12? "They that sit at the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards." What is that saying? I said, there's people in the little dives, bars, and nasters. They made up this dirty songs about the Lord and Mary. They made up songs, little jingles about him, making fun of him. "Oh, she said she was a virgin. He said he was God." And they made up dirty songs about him, made fun of him in the bars and dives. What about over in John chapter 8, when the Lord Jesus Christ conversed with his children, some wicked people were there, and they looked at the Lord and said, "We be not born of fornication." You know what they're saying? You were. They accused the eternal Son of God who came into this world by virgin birth to be born of fornication. Now, how about you? Would that hurt you? What if you found out the people over in the town here in Monroe was making up songs about you and making fun of you, making fun of you behind your back and saying nasty things about you that wasn't true? Would that hurt you? Would that get you discouraged? didn't discourage Jesus. His forehead was like a flint, and he kept going forward to fulfill the Father's will. What a precious example we have in that. The Lord Jesus Christ would not be discouraged. When I think about the Garden of Gethsemane and what happened there, wow, that's enough to discourage any person. You know, Jesus, he went into that garden, and then he took Peter and James and John with him further, and then the Bible said he went a little further. Always remember, no matter how far you've gone, Jesus went further. Jesus went further, and he began to pray, and the Bible said his sweat became as great drops of blood falling to the ground. It didn't say Jesus sweat blood. It says his sweat was as great drops of blood falling to the ground, meaning it poured from his body as he sweat and prayed in agony. And he said his soul was exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. I mean, have you ever been so convicted about one sin that you couldn't look yourself in the mirror? What about the sin of the entire elect family of God being on one person? All of that sin was on Jesus. And he prayed to the Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And Jesus came back and he found those other apostles. What were they doing? They were asleep. Couldn't you watch with me for 1 hour? Have you ever talked to people that said they want to do something for Jesus? They could have done something that night. They could have comforted him in his agony. They could have encouraged him in his trouble. But they went to sleep. Surely that would discourage any man. It didn't discourage the Lord, the God-man, God manifest in perfect humanity. He says, sleep on now and get you rest. Jesus continued his forehead like a flint. When I think about the betrayal, Judas betraying the Lord. And someone might say, well, Judas, you don't believe he was a child of God, do you, Brother Ryan? That's not what I'm making reference to. I'm making reference to the pinnacle of God's creation, and that's man. The pinnacle of God's creation is not the trees. The pinnacle of God's creation is not the sun. The pinnacle of God's creation is not the moon. The pinnacle of God's creation was man. Man is the pinnacle of God's creation. Man was made in the image of God, and God breathed in him the breath of life. Personally, I don't believe Judas was a child of God, but it doesn't change this fact that the pinnacle of his creation betrayed him. The pinnacle of God's creation betrayed his maker. He came to the Lord and he kissed the Lord, and Jesus said this in Luke chapter 22, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of God with a kiss? Don't you know that hurt? Would that hurt you? For someone to kiss you and betray you with a kiss. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of the enemy, but the kisses. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of the enemy are deceitful. Wow. His own familiar friend. Remember, David wrote about this. You know, when David wrote about this over in Psalms 41, he's referring to Ahithophel, his counselor, that turned his back on him to help Absalom. Prophetically, it's making reference to Judas and the Lord. My own familiar friend that's eating my bread has lifted up his heel against me. I mean, Judas was blessed just to be in the presence of the Lord. You know, natural men without God are blessed to breathe God's fresh air. I mean, the Bible says God is good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works. Esau enjoyed breathing God's air. Esau enjoyed eating the apples off God's trees. But he betrayed the Lord with a kiss, the pinnacle of creation. Wow, would that discourage you? But it didn't discourage Jesus. What about when Peter denied him? Peter denied the Lord, but it didn't discourage him. What about the Lord spending time with these men and teaching them how to be humble? I mean, Jesus was the perfect servant. And then when he would tell them about him being crucified and going back to the Father, what was the argument? Who's going to be the greatest? Everything he taught them just seemed to go out the window. Remember there in Luke chapter 22, he told them about him being crucified. Well, who's going to be the greatest? I mean, James and John even put their mother up to go into the Lord. He said, grant this to my sons, that one will be on your right hand and one on the left in thy Father's kingdom. After Jesus told them that they would be converted and become his little children, they wouldn't enter into the kingdom of God, the visible kingdom. Jesus taught them how to be humble by example and by his teaching. Would that discourage you? How about it, parents? What if you taught your children how to do things right, how to do things right, and all of a sudden they just did everything all wrong? Would that discourage you? As a pastor of the church, if I was teaching the church the right ways of God and the entire church went in the wrong direction, would it discourage? Oh, it discouraged. Jesus taught them right. Taught them what to do. And yet they did just the opposite. Who's going to be the greatest? But none of these things discouraged Jesus. And brothers and sisters in Christ, we have a friend in Christ Jesus and an example of him. During times of discouragement, I can look to him and I can find one that did persevere and one that did not become discouraged, that endured it all and satisfied the Father in everything that he done. And what a precious example we have in him. So when I get discouraged, I'm going to think about the Lord. Think about the example he's given me. Number two. Times of discouragement. Number two. It's important for us to remember what God has done for his people throughout the generations. During times of discouragement, we often get like this. Well, it's all over. You know, there's no sense in us even hoping any further. Man, this is going to close it all up. Might as well just wrap it all up and say that's the end. Let the bats and mice and owls have it. And we forget about what the Lord has done for his people throughout the generations. You know how many children of God had times when they were down and out and discouraged, and God, he showed up on the scene and done things that no man could do. What about the children of Israel? When they got there at the Red Sea, and they looked behind them, and here comes Pharaoh's army. They looked in front of them, and there's the Red Sea. What are we going to do? They begin to murmur. And it was Moses. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What a precious verse in the Bible. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And the Lord with his nostrils just blew and parted the Red Sea and they all walked on dry land. You know that hymn we have in our hymn book? He's the same today, just the same today. You know God is not depleted in power. He's not depleted with. He's the same God he's always been. And when brothers and sisters, when things look like they're difficult before us and difficult behind us, the same God that parted that Red Sea, he's able to do great things for us right now. I used to love Elder Raymond Lord. He said, I can just see those little children, the little children among the children of Israel, as those waters were congealed, they could probably look in there and they could see all those great fish. You know, they just go up to them, just hit those walls. You know, them great fish, you can't touch me. I got God on my side. God is helping me. Man, don't you know they was encouraged as they walked there on that dry land. Their feet didn't even get wet. I think about the children of Israel when they got there in the wilderness. The Bible says that their feet swelled not, neither their garments worn. I mean, they had the same pair of shoes for 40 years. Boy, I tell you, that's better than anything sold today. You know, God can take a little and make it last a long time. Someone says, I ain't got much. God can make a little go a long time, right? I tell you, I remember the days of Elijah. There's a barrel of meal. Every time that widow went back there, there's enough meal to sustain her that day. God did that for her. Well, I ain't got much, Brother Ronnie. I tell you what, if God is your king and God is with you, you got a lot. I think about the children of Israel when they are there in the wilderness, didn't have anything to eat, ran out of bread. God caused manna to come down from heaven. My dad used to tell me, you know, if God is able to feed the little birds with just the cookie crumbs of a kid, how many times do you think the Lord's little birds, a kid would go outside with a cookie and just drop some crumbs? And you'd think, well, I don't know about that. Have you ever thought about kids and eating cookies outside? I mean, all my kids, they always drop cookie crumb stuff outside. You ever thought about just the Lord feeding his little birds with kids cookie crumbs? Heard a story about a man, his family kind of went on tough times, didn't have much. He's trying to make it from week to week. Said the kids come home and they had a little puppy dog. Daddy, we want to keep this little puppy dog. He said, look, kids, he said, man, things are tough. We don't have much. We can't afford to feed this puppy. But the kids just kept crying, I want the puppy. And he said, all right, but the puppy's going to have to eat what we got left over. And he said, about a week later, there's a neighbor there came and said, our dog died and we had all this supply of dog food. We want to just give it to y'all. Said, then he had more dog food than he wanted to have. He said, you know, he thought, if God's able to feed that dog, he's able to feed me. You know, God has done great things for his people. What about in the Bible when there's a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman? God promised them to have a son. They had the son. If you ever thought about the children of Israel following Gideon, a man that had no experience whatsoever, took a 300 misfit army and ran the entire army of Midian out of the land? What about a man named Daniel that was cast into a den of lions? Not a lion's den, a den of lions. You know, a lion's den could just be an old den, no lions be in there. No, there was lions in it. It was a den of lions. And the only person that got a good night's sleep that night was Daniel in there with those lions, trusting God. If God is able to do that, he's able to do for us today. In the days of Nehemiah and the children of Israel come to the walls of Jerusalem after the Babylonians had destroyed it. There was so much rubble, the horses couldn't even pass through. But God blessed that small group of people, and in 52 days, they repaired the entire walls of Jerusalem. That's why the devil wants to destroy our Bibles, to get us away from this reminder of what God has done for his people, that we would be discouraged and down and out, but we consider what God has done. Wow! We should not be discouraged. We should be encouraged, trusting in the living God. During times of discouragement, we should also think about what God has done for us. Remember the children of Israel, when the Lord helped them, they set up this Ebenezer. Remember that in 1 Samuel chapter 7? They set up an Ebenezer and said, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." How many Ebenezers have you got in your life that you can look back to and say, "The Lord done this for me"? Yeah, I got many Ebenezers in my life I look back to. The Lord did this for me. God helped me. You know, God that helped you then is not going to forsake you now. You know, God that helped the church throughout the generations, he's not going to forsake us now. God didn't bring us this far just to drop us off a ledge. God hadn't blessed you so far just to let you go. No, the Lord loves you, dear child of God. And the God that has helped you all the days of your life will continue to help you. You remember in 1 Samuel chapter 30, when Amalek came and destroyed Ziklag and the people turned on David, they turned on him. What'd David do? Wow, that was enough to get anybody discouraged. They came and destroyed my city. They took my wives captive. Everything's gone. The people have turned on me. The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. What did David do? He said, "Let me remember about all that God did for me. Oh, yeah, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul." David said, "I remember all those times that God helped me in my life. I didn't have any help. God did that for me. And the God that did that for me, he's now my present refuge and strength." David wrote that in Psalms 46 and verse 1. The Lord is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. That word present means he's right there. He's not left you, dear child of God. So not only do I think about the Lord, I think about what he's done for his people. I think about what he's done for me. I'll tell you something else we need to be reminded of during times of discouragement. What God has given us to help us during times of discouragement. You know, the devil would like for you to think, well, you don't have nothing. You're all alone. You don't have nothing. You're all by yourself in this world. Dear child of God, you're not all by yourself. The Lord has given you his word. This word is the inspired, preserved word of God. And God has it here for you, dear child of God. David said he's preserved it. Paul said he inspired it. God keeps it. And it's here for you that you would have something to go to be encouraged and strengthened during your times of discouragement. When you get discouraged, let me tell you something to do. Pick up your Bible and start reading your Bible. You know, the Bible's good to read when you're encouraged, but it's great to read when you're discouraged. And I want to tell you, the less I read the Bible, the easier it is for me to be discouraged. The more I read the Bible, the more difficult it is for me to be discouraged. I tell you something else God has given us. We have the help of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul told us that in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, the Spirit also helpeth us. We have the help of the Holy Spirit. You remember Jesus, when he left the large upper room there in John chapter 14, and he made that journey to the Mount of Olives? Remember what he told the disciples there in John chapter 15 and verse 18? He said, "I will not leave you comfortless." Remember that? You know what that word is? That word is the Greek orphanes. It's where we get the word orphans. What Jesus is saying is, "I'm not going to leave you like an orphan in this world." You ever thought about an orphan that have anybody to depend on, nobody to look to, nobody that claims them? Jesus said, "I'm not going to leave you as orphans in this world." See, not only are you His, He claims you as His, and He's with you always as His, and He's here with us now as the Holy Spirit is here as an agent and representative of Him. Something else God gives us, He gives us good friends. What's the hymn say? The friends I love most are those in the house of my God. Look beside you, dear brothers and sisters. Look behind you. And look around you at the friends that God has blessed you to have. During times of discouragement, how about just calling up a friend? You know, God gave me a precious friend. It's my wife. And I thank God for my wife during times of discouragement. I've said this about Jennifer. Jennifer has some of the wisest counsel of anyone I've ever spent time with. I only think she made one mistake in her life, and that's when she married me. You know, I got a few preachers to amen that one time. I got friends here in the house of God. When I get down and out, I can call them up. I love the deacons here at the church I can depend on. I can call them up during my times of discouragement. They'll help you. That's why it's good to be at the house of God at church on Sunday morning, that we can be encouraged during times of discouragement. And finally, this is something to always remember. Number five, do not ever have an unrealistic expectation about living in this world. An unrealistic expectation living in this world will cause you more discouragement than anything. To think this world is going to be more than what the world is. I remember when Joshua was a baby. I took my mom and dad out to eat. Jennifer and Joshua, my mom and dad was there, and I set Joshua down. And Joshua kept reaching up to try to get the, you know, the salt and pepper shakers. And I got frustrated, and I said, Joshua, I said, if you reach up and try to get that again, son, I'm going to give you a spanking. Daddy said, well, you just as well go ahead and give him a spanking. He's going to reach up and get it. He said, you can't ask him to be more than who he is. And he said, he's a baby. And my daddy told me, he said, don't ever ask kids to be more than what they are, kids. He said, you need to guide them and help them. That's a good lesson, you know. It's the same as in this world. Don't try to think the world is going to be different than what the world is. Someone says, I got discouraged. Somebody told a lie. Wow, big surprise. Every time I turn on the TV and turn on the news, I hear a bunch of lies. Well, a fellow down here, he didn't do me right. Well, big news. People have been doing people wrong since sin entered into the world. If you start expecting the world to be different than the world, you're going to get discouraged. But here's something you can depend on. You can depend on God always being God. And here in this world that you can't depend on, you can always depend on God always being God. He'll always do right, He'll always do just, and He'll always do you good and never hurt you. And so during this time we live here in this world that we can be easily discouraged, let's think about the Lord. Let's think about what He's done for His children times past. Think about what He's done for us. Think about what He's given us. And also just remember, the one that always do right, it's not the world, it's the Lord. May God richly bless you, is our prayer.